Good morning, and if I haven't seen you already, a slightly belated Happy Christmas. But we're just delighted to see so many here on this sort of gap space type day. So welcome everybody who's here and everybody who's coming in. We'll be doing the usual service with the please, when it's time to sing, stand up if you're able, and sing if you're able as well. And sing even if you're not able, because the Lord loves a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, is what the psalmist said. He didn't say sing in tune. However, if you can sing in tune, please do. So, announcements. There wasn't to be any coffee, but Hugh has suddenly leapt in. I think we'll call him Super Hugh. So, you can thank Hugh if you're a little warmer afterwards. Apologies for the slightly lower temperature during the school holidays. But anyway, I'm George, and I'm here to introduce you. And Jenny will be preaching later. The only other notices I can think of, just to say, there is no Sunday school today, but there is a table at the back. Or is there? Yes. With sort of game stuff on, and children, when Jenny's speaking, children are welcome to go to the back and create havoc there. So, no, you're not allowed, Andrea. Jenny's theme for today is Christmas joy and future cheer. So we'll be thinking about Christmas and what leads on from Christmas. So I'm just going to read a few verses from, if you have the reading from Isaiah. We read the Christmas story again and again. So I thought we'd have a little Old Testament message, which is about the coming of the Messiah. Here is my servant, says the Lord through Isaiah, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I'll take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So that's a great message for the Messiah, speaking at Christmas about the coming of the Messiah, who is obviously hundreds of years in the future when Isaiah wrote those words, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And of course that includes spiritual dungeons. So we're going to start with a fine Christmas carol, Joy to the World.
Love them, they are.
Right, Jenny's going to be sharing with us later. She's going to be following on further the theme around the shepherds and the joy of Christmas and the miracle of the angels appearing to the shepherds. Have we got my first slide? Wonderful, thank you. So, a few thoughts about miracles. This is a picture I took of the shepherd's field at Bethlehem. That's the entrance to the place where people celebrate the coming of the angels near Bethlehem. So a few thoughts about miracles. Right, the other week I bought a second-hand book. This one. It's actually an Old Testament, but not an ordinary one. It contains the original Hebrew words of the Old Testament with the English translations underneath. I'd always fancied a copy of it, but it costs a fortune, so I'd never seen one secondhand before, so I snapped it up when I found it. In case you're wondering, I don't actually read Hebrew, but it's interesting to browse my little book and notice little points in it that the English version doesn't bring out. I was looking at the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And just out of interest, in the Hebrew version, it has genders in it. So it says that he, God, created she, earth, which was a lovely little symmetry that I'd never come across before. So I was looking at it, and I'm going to look at the second word of the Bible from that verse. So that's the second word of the Bible. I don't know whether I can pronounce it. Well, no, I can't pronounce it. I don't know whether, Tony, can you pronounce it? It's if you translate it into sort of English words, it comes out as bara. And it literally means he created. And bara is a word which appears in quite a bit in the first chapter of Genesis. And it talks about God creating something utterly new. It's a word that's unique to God. God creates something utterly new. So it's not just a regular sort of miracle. It's an absolutely, you know, world, universe-changing miracle. And as Christians, we believe that God sometimes intervenes in our lives and does miracles, healings, answers to prayer that he feels are the right ones, and so on. But a bara event is just absolutely something on a different scale. In the New Testament, doesn't use the Hebrew word bara because the New Testament is written in Greek. But again, there are stupendous events in the New Testament. The resurrection you would consider as a miracle of that kind of scale. Not really a miracle, an absolute change of everything. And the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time, that'll be a similar one. And of course, what C.S. Lewis called the grand miracle, which was the incarnation, the Christmas story, when the Father sent his Son into the world at Bethlehem. And smaller miracles are amazing, of course. I'd like to be able to show you a miracle this morning, but it's a bit difficult. I organise a lot of things, but that's a bit beyond me. For instance, here's a bottle of water. Now, there are people in this church who pray a lot harder and have a lot more faith than I have. I don't know whether anyone cares to take this bottle of water and pray over it and see if Jesus turned water into wine at Cana in Galilee. Would anybody, any takers? No, I didn't think so. If it helps, this bottle of water, I actually bought it from a street stall in Cana. So it is real Cana water. So you couldn't have a better start. So if anybody actually, maybe not. In any case, I think if you asked the Lord to turn it into wine, he'd probably tell you you'd already drunk enough wine over Christmas already. Next slide, please. Oh, sorry. Yes, that's the Cana. That's a photograph I took at Cana. That is the inside that glass case is one of the stone water jars of the sort that Jesus would have taken the water. They would have taken the water out of and taken it to Jesus. So that's an original Cana stone water jar. Next, please. Yes, that's a photograph of Christine when she was a little younger. She's playing table tennis. I think she missed that ball. So I was trying to think how else I could illustrate, not do a miracle, but maybe illustrate the kind of change that a miracle brings. And the nearest idea I had was to show you something that's a bit more science than miracle. Here's a ping pong ball, which if I drop it, you see it's not very good. It's got a dent in it. There you are. You can see the dent in the ping pong ball. That's not a very good ping pong ball, is it? Quite a few of the miracles that Jesus did were changing things back to what they should be, you know, restoring the healing the blind or the deaf, or even raising people from the dead. And I can, hopefully, don't try this at home. Here's some boiling water. So let's see. Yes, just to confirm that this, here you are, Roger. You feel that ping pong ball? Is that all round? Yeah, definitely. Yes. Right at the top. How do you know which is the top of a ping pong ball, Roger? Right. So let's pour some. Let's see if this works. Let's see what it looks like. Yeah, come on. Rats. It must be a cracked one. It's removed part of the dent, but not all of it. I must have cracked it. Oh, well. Never work with animals, children, or ping pong balls. But Christmas miracle is different even from a regular miracle. Next slide, please. The Christmas miracle, C.S. Lewis called it the grand miracle. That on the left, there's a photograph of the an angel on the front of the church at the Shepherd's Fields. And on the right is a view from there looking towards modern Bethlehem. So that's the journey the shepherds took to go to Bethlehem. The grand miracle, the Christmas miracle, changed everything. Could I illustrate a grand miracle? That's a bit more difficult even, isn't it? Let's have a go. An ordinary miracle a regular miracle is something fairly straightforward. But a grand miracle is really something that shocks you and changes everything. So if I do something like, for example, that. Or even better, let's try. Something that you weren't expecting. Something so... This is... actually powered by one of those nice big elastic bands that the posties drop in the street. But yes. I was going to offer a prize for anybody who brought me back a ping pong ball. But this is not something you expect a ping pong ball to do. I wonder if I could... Yeah, Dave's got his mouth open. Oh! Close, close. But, you know, God does things that are... Oh, well, never mind. You are Andrea? If you like.
Oh, I wasn't watching what you do.
Too busy catching balls.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then what do I do? Just kick the peg?
Yeah, but careful where you're pointing it.
Ready, Susie.
Oh! Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
So God does, once in a while, things that absolutely change the view of history. One more slide, I think there is. The entire world is changed when... So the Christmas story was something that absolutely, changed everything. God sent his son into the world. God sent his son into the world because he so loved the world. And he gave his son for us. And I suppose there's only one other grand sort of miracle just to mention, and that is the kind of grand miracle that happens in our lives when we are changed, when we become a Christian. That, for us individually, is a grand miracle of that changes our whole existence. That was just a few thoughts about miracles. So I hope that you will rejoice in what God has done this Christmas. And ignore the things that I have failed to do. We're going to sing, going to have a worship block now of three songs. We're going to sing Many Years Ago, and then It Was on a Starry Night, and then finally we'll take the collection to the third song, which is What Child Is This? So... we'll begin with Many Years Ago.
Of heaven rang for him, for a boy.
Father, we have nothing but what you have given us, and given us through your Son by the power of your Spirit. And now we return to you that which we are able to give, and we ask that you would use it to your purposes in this church and in the world today. In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to God's Word before we have a time of prayer. And we're going to read the familiar story again of the shepherds. Let's try and, as we read it, let's try and find something new in it that we've never noticed before. It's so easy to follow the same old, time-worn thing. Let's see if you can find something new in it. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's turn to prayer. We thank you, Father, for the grand miracle of you sending your Son into the world. We give you praise and we give you thanks. And for 2,000 years, people have been doing that ever since the shepherds were the first to hear the news. And now we hear it again and we praise you for it again. We thank you that you sent your Son into the world, despite the fact that you knew he would need to die for the sake of forgiveness for our sins. And we come before you in humbleness, but in hope too, for a life full of purpose in your Spirit. We bring before you those in the church who have special needs. We bring before you any who are on our hearts. We just pray for those who aren't here and for those who are here and are struggling. Pray for Lou as she now is looking forward to an operation next month. We bring before you those who are undergoing treatment or have got done. We bring before you Helen and Marna. We thank you for Chris Yardy, who we saw on Christmas Day. We just thank you for blessing in the lives of many. Pray for Ray Bacon to continue with his healing, and Joe Metcalf and many others. Lord, we bring before you those we've mentioned and those we haven't. And we ask that you would strengthen and restore them in body, and all of us in body, mind and spirit, in your purposes. And we ask these things today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Now I'll just pray for Jenny as she comes to share the word with us. Sorry about my clutter. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would bless Jenny, that your spirit would rest upon her, that her words might be yours, and that we might feel the presence of Christ here this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a very happy Christmas to you. We are on the fourth day of Christmas, right? We have 8 more days to go before this Christmas period is over. But we're a funny lot in Britain, you know. We only celebrate Christmas Day and Boxing Day and then we give up. Poof. No, there are 12 days to Christmas and it starts on Christmas Day. I thank you so much, George, for your leading this morning. Once or twice you thought, thank you. Miracles. I experienced a mini miracle this past week. As you know, I've told you before, I buy a little bunch of flowers once a week and I give to anyone I see in Tesco's. Someone's looking a bit downhearted, someone who's done a kindness, I can see they've helped someone, or someone who smiled at me in a very warm and embracing way. And I will slip their little bunch of flowers to them and simply say, I buy a bunch of flowers every week and I look for someone to give them to. Will you receive them and enjoy them? And every time, people's faces light up. Well, 2 weeks ago I did this and I went up to this couple, an elderly lady with a middle-aged person with her. And I said to her the same and gave them to her. Oh, she said, thank you. The following week, now this is Christmas time, all right, this is Christmas time. Tesco's is packed. There isn't room to park. Arrgh. And this second week I went in and I did the same and I saw a couple coming out. So I popped my flowers into her trolley as she passed. And I said to this lady, hey lady, receive these flowers and enjoy them. And all of a sudden, the gentleman beside her leapt forward. Did you give a bunch to an older lady last week? I said, yes, I did. She just lost her husband, and he was my father. How could that have happened? Out of all the hundreds and thousands who go to Tesco's at Christmas time, the lovely connection. And I felt that the Lord has his hand on the kindness that was done. Kindness hasn't got to be tremendous. It can be a little thing. But it can bring such a blessing to others. Never feel you're not doing enough for the Lord. Live your life well. Live your life with joy in your heart. And I'm going to... Whoops, I had a lovely card. And this is my focus in the main. Joy. Isn't that beautiful? Lovely. So we're going to major on that. So let us just come together now and I'll just pray. Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for coming before your people and having the opportunity to share the joy of Christmas. May we share that joy one with the other, not only today, but in all the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Eternity. You will see many wreaths outside people's doors, and they are made of holly and ivy, and they'll have the red berries on it, and then little points of red ribbon or something red that just shouts joy and beauty. But it has a wonderful symbolism. When you see that, you see the circular shape of the wreath, which means eternity. All those of you who have been married and are married, your wedding ring means eternity. When you put it upon a person's hand, you promise them to love them until life ends. And so eternity is a time of no beginning and no end. Time has a beginning and an end. And time began when God, the Father, together with the Word and the Spirit of God, hovered over this emptiness, this darkness. And then God spoke. Jesus is the Word of God. And as God raised his voice and spoke, let there be, the first thing was, in that darkness, let there be light. And the beauty of light is, I thank God for the light here. I can see all your faces. And hi. And just lovely. Light reveals what is before you. If you have light, you're less likely to trip over something. You do, but you're less likely to. You're less likely to bump into someone. You're less likely to have an accident because you can see where you're going. And that was the first gift that God gave to the world. And that was through his Son, his Word. And when he spoke, light came. Well, then there was time was born. And time has a beginning and time has an end. And we experience that as human beings through birth and through death. We have that long line in the middle. That is our life. And that is time to us. But time continues on after we've gone. Other people have come and time continues and will continue until Christ comes again. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it will be just as God had so desired the first heaven and earth to be. But how glad I am today that we are celebrating in this Christmas time the coming of one called Jesus, Savior. A little tiny child. There's a little child at the back of the church, a little wisp of a child. That was what Jesus was like. Frail, placed in a time of great danger, of hatred and war. And here we have this baby in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was surrounded by hills. And on those hills were the shepherds. And the shepherds were the lowliest of people, despised by general society. We have in our society, we have the class system, sadly. Say it doesn't exist, but it does. You can be upper class, middle class, lower class, and no class at all. I'm not quite sure where I stand, but certainly not at the top of that in human terms. But in the eyes of God, there is no class system. We are equal. Male and female, children and adults are equal and loved by this one God who created us originally and has redeemed us through his Son. And yes, I love the word history. We are looking at the history of the coming of Jesus, his story, history, his story. Our time on this earth is judged by the coming of Jesus now, 2,225 years ago, roughly, Jesus came. And that is when this kit, how we are regarded as a Christian country. And we need to protect that with a fervor as we share our faith with others. So we are going to look at the history, and we're going to look at the lovely words of in Luke, where the shepherds were on the hills, at a time in their country where the Romans had become very dominant and were harsh, very harsh masters. And then you had leaders at the top who were very questionable. And I want us just to look at Joseph and Mary coming to Bethlehem. Mary so near producing her child, and that they couldn't find a place to stay, and they ended up in this lower room where the animals could stay if the people owned animals. And he was put in a manger. The one who is the King of Kings and Lord of all became the most humble of us all. And Mary placed him in a manger and rested after she had brought him into being. And what I love about this story is that the mighty God did not look upon being born in grandeur. He wanted to be amongst the people. I want us to think of Joseph. I always think of Joseph at Christmas. He's so neglected. Jesus and Mary and Joseph were not poor. They were in the stable because there was no room with all the other people that had come. Joseph was a carpenter. He was a working man. He was able to pay for lodgings if there had been room. And a little later, when the wise men came, they found them in a house where he was paying for his keep and had made his way. Joseph was a good man, a hard-working man, a man who cared for his family. And I want us to lift him before God today and to remember him with thanksgiving that he took Mary, who apparently appeared to be an unmarried mother. And the beauty of the Jewish system is that when they are engaged, it is as good as being married, but they do not sleep together. And I love that note in Scripture that it says that Joseph did not sleep with Mary until after Jesus was born. So the engagement became a marriage after the birth of Jesus, when he consummated his love for her and more family was born. God did not deny Mary the joy of having family. And beauty as it is, that is what happened. And so we now come to this time when the announcement of the birth of Jesus was to be made. I have to smile. The birth of Jesus was on a windy hillside, cold and miserable, and there the angels came. When you haven't had much education and when you are living a very poor life, even in our modern day, you can be very separate from society. There are some children in our schools who are so limited by their earthly circumstance that they need particular extra help to make the real who they are shine through. And the lovely thing about this occasion, when the angel came that dark night, the night was dark, an angel came, and it was filled with light. Again, the gift of God's presence was seen by these simple folk. They were terrified when they saw the angel, and I loved the way that George read it, but says, "Do not be afraid, I have good news," and the good news was shared. Well, then when the angel, who was probably Gabriel, the wonderful angel that was the closest to God, behind him came all a heavenly host and the sky, and it was just radiant. And as the shepherds looked and they heard the angel's message, how much their hearts must have leapt. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to mankind, for on whom his favor rests. You are here this morning because God's peace and favor has been laid on each one of us. We have received that favor. We have responded to Christ. And we have him in our hearts by the Spirit of God himself. But what I want to really share, this was the joy of Christmas Day, the joy of the knowledge that the Saviour, the Messiah, whom the Jews had waited for centuries, had actually come. Wow! They were absolutely gobsmacked, so to speak. But then what did they do? Did they say, "Well, that was nice, blow me, that's good to know, you know." These ignorant men turned to each other and said, what's happened then? You know, this baby in a manger? Well, shall we go and see? Let's go and have a look. And I love it that God placed in their hearts the desire not only to receive the message, but to do something about it. Oh, my friends, that's a message for today. If God has spoken to you, go and in prayer and in thought, consider what he has said to you. And if it's something that needs to be proclaimed beyond the walls of your home, do it. I long to see in this land, our lovely country, I long to see the upsweep of our faith as Christians sweeping over our land again. I do so miss open air work, where you could speak in the town or you could speak anywhere, especially with a crowd of people around you to uphold what you're saying and to go amongst the crowd that gathers and share the truth of Christ's gospel. The shepherds went down to Bethlehem city itself. It's called a city, but it was a very small town in the time of Jesus. Very small indeed. The picture of the modern Bethlehem is very, very different to what the original Bethlehem was like. So that is in time, and they went and they found this child. Wonderful. Isn't it lovely to know that God loves you? Isn't it lovely to know that you found what God said you were looking for? That's only half the story. They must have chatted to Mary and Joseph and said, this is what happened, we saw and we've come to see, and here he is, just as God said, or just as the angel said. It's true, it's true. Then, this is the bit I like. We have the Christmas joy, the event of the coming, but now we must have the cheer for the years that lay ahead. They went out into their community and they told everybody they met what they had seen, what had been said, what had been done. They were the first missionaries of the gospel of Christ, and they took it first to their own people, the Jewish nation. And these Jews that were there for the census had come from all over the land. So they would have gone back and said, hey, well, you know what? These shepherds came and saw us. They said this, they said that. That was said in one part of Jerusalem, one part of all over Israel. And something of the truth of the coming of their Messiah was gently but firmly filtered out into society. On the 6th of this month, of next month, I beg your pardon, we will be celebrating Epiphany, discovering, realization, but the wise men from the east would come. God works in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform, and I thank God he does. He made the coming of his son known first to simple shepherds. The angels went and they found the shepherds. And the shepherds responded. The wise men, some of whom are called stargazers or people who really did study the stars, they weren't just flippity-flippity, and they saw this star, this new star. They were men of intelligence, men of education, men of some financial uplift in their lives, men of consequence to the eyes of the world. But they had to search for Christ. They had to discover him. God didn't just come to them as he did to the simple shepherds. But I do admire the wise men. There were more than three. A host of wise people came. But the gifts that were given, of course, were important. So God has a wonderful way of bringing the joy of Christ into our hearts. And when we have that certainty that God has forgiven us, we are loved and held by God, nothing, nothing will take us from his love. I promise you that. And I want to encourage you this morning too. If you feel you have wandered from God and you are not as close to him as you once were and you feel a little bit sad in your heart about that, he never leaves you. He will never forsake you once you are his. So just turn around spiritually and welcome him once more. And may that joy bring a cheerfulness to your heart, that whatever circumstances of life we move forward into in this coming year, we know that God is with us. He will uphold us in difficult times. He will dance with us in times of joy. And he will be the one who will always, always be the one who loves us. And so, in eternity, God exists, and God exists, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In time, Christ came and in human form was limited to time in his humanity. But let us remember, it was God and man together. He is equally God and equally man. And the lovely thing about that is, he is a God who understands, who loves, and never leaves us. May we, like the shepherds, be missionaries this year and be able to proclaim what he has done in our lives with the hope that the Spirit will move and will enter theirs. Amen. Whoops-a-daisy. We're going to sing another beautiful carol now. It came upon a midnight clear. So let us come now, and as we go forth into a new year, my goodness, 2026 is looming up, isn't it? And we look forward to that, of course, to all that God has for us in his hands during that time. So, Father God, we ask that you will send us out into our communities with your love in our hearts and with a faith that is strong and true. And, Lord, just by your Holy Spirit, guide us in our thinking, in our actions, and in our speaking. And now let us share together in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.